While you are looking up Matthew 6, I'm going to let our children who are junior church candidates head off to the lessons that are designed just for them and give you guys a chance to study this in the original Greek. Matthew chapter 6. It's actually very timely that the Lord would introduce us to this turn in the analysis of the Sermon on the Mount that he has. The Lord has established for us in the first couple of chapters here an idyllic, perfect scenario, a description of what righteous living looks like, a characteristic of godliness that is at the level of perfection. So when the Lord has presented what the holiness of God really looks like, it's a standard so high that we recognize that we could not possibly achieve that, not in our own way or in our own working. It's an inexhaustible high point in terms of righteousness that the Lord calls us to live toward. But we also realize that by setting the standard higher than we can reach, that does not become an excuse for us that we do not endeavor to pursue that standard, even if we know we'll never ultimately reach it. And that's one of the reasons we use the illustration of Olympic athletes. You know, they train, they work hard, their goal is perfection, even though they know that they'll never reach it. Well, our goal has been presented to us by the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, and even though we never will reach it, he calls us to be people who walk in righteousness, who live holy lives. Then in chapter 6, we're turning a corner, and the Lord begins to say, now, as you're doing this, here is the way I want you to do it, because there's a right way and a wrong way. It's possible to be completely hypocritical in the process of pursuing holiness. You can discipline yourself. You can make yourself submitted to what the Word has to say. You can try hard at that and then turn right around and begin to gloat about that or to judge others for their failure to rise to your standard. You can do this for the praise and for the attention of people instead of doing it to the Lord. And so in chapter 6, the Lord makes a turn in his message as he gives us practical examples on how to live this out. The first four verses are all we're going to look at today because we are interested in getting our work team out there before the day really gets hot. So let me read the four verses that we're going to cover. He says in chapter 6, verse 1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be applauded by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Well, that sure fits what it is that we're all about today. As we're taking the church outside the four walls, we're praying that the Lord will lay it on the hearts of many to come and join us there at the park. But for sure, our goal isn't to just simply shout the name of our church or our name or ask any of the glory that would descend on us, but that everything we do would rise to the glory of the Lord that we serve, the one who has bought us. So pray with me as we ask the Lord to lead us through this passage, okay? Lord, thank you for the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for the incredible challenge that it is to us, even to understand and then to ponder not only the holiness and the majesty of God, but then the very real challenge that you make that we should walk in that. Lord, you don't want us to simply excuse ourselves or give ourselves a pass, but always be engaged in the process of self-discipline that we might become the men and women that you desire us to be. But Lord, we thank you that in the midst of all that, you give to us the power of God Almighty to make that transition possible. And so as we look at this development in your message where you are exhorting us as to the motivation of our heart, help us, we pray, to see its application to our lives this morning. For we pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I happened to read the story of two authors who were actually good friends. They were not married or anything. They just lived about the same time, which was in the first half of the last century. One of them was a fairly successful author, and her name was Edith Wharton. Maybe some of you who are literature majors will recognize that name. I didn't. But she was a pretty successful author. And then this man who was her friend was less successful. His name was Henry James. And he was unable and was getting discouraged by the fact that he was really not finding the audience for the works that he was writing. And she, on the other hand, was becoming increasingly successful. They both used the same publisher. So she went to the publisher and she said, I would like for you to give Henry, I think it was $8,000, as an advance on the next book, but I want you to take it out of the proceeds that are mine. Just don't tell him anything about that. Well, her gift, because it remained anonymous to Henry, was an extraordinary blessing and encouragement to him that after all, there really were people who were interested in the things that were coming from his pen. You know, there's power in giving, but the power in the giving does not come at the expense of robbing the recipient of their pride and of their dignity. And so the Lord begins to speak to us in here a challenge that is appropriate because of our human nature. You know, after setting up this standard in chapters 4 and 5, helping us to really realize the holiness and the righteousness, he knows our hearts. He knows that to the extent that we can be successful in becoming better at the disciplines of the Christian life, it's entirely possible for our heart to begin to become arrogant about that and to begin to lord it over those that are not doing quite as well. And to put our hands on our hips and to cluck our tongues and to say, you know, you really should take your lessons in life by looking at moi. Yeah, maybe you wouldn't put it quite that way, but the attitude of the heart is a sneaky thing. And so the Lord speaks to the attitude of the heart. He says, do not practice your righteousness in front of people. Don't choose to be motivated to live a godly life because you want to impress folks. Instead, he says, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. He expands on that as he goes forward. And he says to us that that the Father does have a reward. There is a blessing. There is a benefit to walking the Christian life and living in the discipline of that Christian life. He says, and God's prepared to reward you for your discipline. But if you're content instead to take your reward here and now by having people go, ooh, and ah, and aren't you someone great? He says, then you've already received your reward, so there won't be any further reward and glory that awaits you. Verse 2, he says, whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be applauded by the people. I assure you, they have gotten their reward. I'm sure you have been in incidences where you have seen those who are trying to do a good thing, a good project, something noble, something worthwhile, and their goal is to try and get people to help support that worthwhile thing. And so in order to get people to support that thing, they'll do some kind of an event. And almost without fail, in that event is a brochure, a bulletin, a flyer, something that's handed out. And in there are listed the people who gave. They're not generally just listed. They're listed in the order of how much they gave. You know, you have your silver medallion participants, and then you have your platinum participants. And the higher you go, the more they gave to get there. And they tell you how much it's going to take for you to give if you want to have your name listed in here with the rest of the platinum participants. Sue and I attended a festival at Sandpoint while we were up there on vacation last week. They've been doing this thing, we found out, for 30 years. No, 40 years. Whatever it was. 30 years, I think it was. Anyway, a long time. And they carve out about 10 days in the summertime, and they take over the city's football field. They set up this large tent, and then they bring in musical artists from all across the country. There's a pretty amazing different array of people that have come in. And actually, the last night, they have the Spokane Symphony come and play, and it's always an enjoyable evening, and she and I like to go if it's possible for us to go. We're there. So we did. And so here comes the little program that comes out, and you look through the program, and here's the page of all of the generous givers. You know what the Lord is saying is that it's okay to give to that, and it's wonderful, but if the motivation of your heart is to get your name on that page, he says, then the reward that you were seeking, you've got it. And so there it is. You got to enjoy it for one night in August on a field in Sandpoint, Idaho. Now, if you want the reward to be something that you get to enjoy for eternity, then he says there's a different motivation and a different heart that you have for doing that. He says in verse 3, when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Cute language. You know, I think what's interesting is that even though what the Lord is saying here is impossible, everybody that reads it and those that heard it understand what he means. You can't really do something that your left hand does not know what your right hand is doing. But if there is an attitude of your heart that what you're doing is cloaked in the desire not to bring any acclaim to yourself or any reputation to yourself, but simply to honor and to serve others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is a reward that awaits you that is everlasting and eternal. Well, the Lord uses the language here. He says, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets. As I studied this passage, the commentaries and so forth said they don't know for sure if the Lord was just making a hypothetical situation or if he may be referring to an event that could occur in the life of the people of Israel and Jerusalem. Because there would be times when a particularly important need would be made known at the temple. And so they would blow a trumpet, which would be a call for people to come and bring offerings. And so if at the sound of the trumpet, you know, you make a pompous walk down the street and deposit your coins in there for everyone to see that you're one of those that was responding to that call, to that need, then he says, you've already gotten the reward you were after. If the reward you want is the praise and the adoration of others, if the reward you want is for people to say, wow, what an amazing individual, Jesus says, that's the reward you got, and there won't be more waiting for you when you get to eternity. But if you want a reward that awaits you in glory, he says, then don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You keep that thing secret. You keep that thing confidential to the heart. Well, this passage, in some respects, could hardly be more appropriate for what we're doing today. Because we're going to go out and we want to just bless a community. And we're not there to blow trumpets. We're not there to draw attention to ourselves. We're there to be the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ as we just seek to be a blessing to those that come. We have no idea sitting here at this point who might come. None whatsoever. Our trust, our hope, our prayer is that there will be many who will be motivated to come down and see, what are these people doing and why are they doing it? And so the attitude of our heart is just going to be to reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. The attitude of our heart is to just be his hands and his feet. Now, if somebody asks you, what church are you from? I don't want you to lie. Go ahead and tell them. But that's just to answer a question. We're not there to blow a trumpet. We're not there to call attention to ourselves. We're there to serve others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a reward that the Lord is talking about. One of these days, as we get into Matthew, I'm going to take a whole Sunday, and we're going to talk about this concept of a reward. Because I want you to know that the Lord Jesus has said he will reward you. He will take care of you. He invites you to trust him now for that day which is coming when he is going to show you what he means by a reward. Now, that view has come under attack, and there's a very popular interpretation that says, well, yeah, you get the reward as a crown, and the crown, when you get to glory, you can't do anything more than just take your crown off and cast it at the feet of Jesus. That's borrowed from Revelation, where it says the 24 elders cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus. And so the interpretation is that the 24 elders are representative of the church, and they're figurative of all of the body of Christ, taking their rewards and casting them before the Lord. I'm going to submit to you that is pretty faulty interpretation. And it takes everything that the Lord has been saying about rewards and turns it on its head and says that he was just puffing smoke. What Jesus says is that if you will walk his way, if you will pursue righteousness, if you will do it with a humble heart, if you will give without being concerned about your own reputation or the acclaim or the glory that might come to you, if you will live life the way he calls you to, he says to you, in that day, I'm going to make it worth your while because I'm going to have a reward for you in glory. Well, we're going to pray and sing and then go get dirty. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity today to just be the church in a different way. We love gathering together on Sunday morning and singing songs and spending time in your word and enjoying Sunday school and munching cookies. But today we get to go be the church in a different way, loving some folks that maybe have never darkened the door of a church in their entire life. And so we pray that you would be, that you would guide our hearts and our lips and enable us to be your hands and your feet today. Pray for opportunities to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for the chance to just share with some of the folks that are there, maybe our own personal story, our own testimony of the work that you've done in our heart, in our life, to make us a brand new person. Lord, we are simply one group of beggars looking to teach another group of beggars where they can find bread, because you are the giver of all good things, and our heart's desire is to make sure that everyone possible gets to hear about that. So bless this time, we pray, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus.